Okay, so the topic for tonight is sous vide cooking on Shabbos. Now this is one of those. I think this is a north-south divide because when both Rabbi Chin and I happened to mention this at Shirim in Thornhill, and nobody had any idea what we were talking about. The only person who did had a kid who lives down here. And down here, everybody, I don't know if everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about, but many more people down south know what I'm talking about, and very little has been written on this Shaila, though the little that has been written, there's a tshuva by Rav Asher Weiss, and several times that this has been asked in different forms and from Toronto to Shlomo Miller, which leads me to believe that people down here cook with sous vide. Just anecdotally, that's what I'm gathering. But the truth is, it's apparently becoming more popular because it was a shaila in Five Towns. It was a shaila in Teaneck, which is how Rav Asher Weiss got the shaila. And today and yesterday, or Friday, I guess, the OU daily halacha was actually about sous vide. It was already after I'd sent out the makor sheets. But so it's becoming more popular. So what is sous vide? So It's French for under vacuum, but I gave you Wikipedia in number one. It's a method of cooking in which food is vacuum sealed in a plastic pouch or a glass jar and then placed in a water bath or steam environment for longer than normal. Cooking time usually 1 to 7 hours, but it could be a day, it could be 2 days, right? Depending on what you're cooking, right? That right, up to 48 hours or more in some cases, and at an accurately regulated temperature. The intent is to cook the item evenly, ensuring that the inside is properly cooked without overcooking the outside and to retain moisture. Right? So this is the Dina's very into this. Yeah. She's very into this.
Somehow trolling's made like that sometimes.
What's made like it?
Trolling.
Really?
Yeah, but you put it in a pouch.
Interesting.
And the steam of a crock pot cooks it.
I did not know that. I did a little bit of research online to figure it out, but basically what it is classic cooking. You know, you expose the food to a heat source, and as you expose it to a heat source, so the outside gets cooked first, and then the inside, and that's why things are more cooked at the outside, and they're rarer as you get towards the inside, and you usually have to cook it at a high temperature. Sous vide cooking, and the food circulates in this vacuum-sealed pack in the water bath, and it cooks over a much longer period of time, but it gets evenly cooked, and therefore it's more tender, the moisture is retained, apparently you can cook many things with sous vide. Most people I hear do meat, but you look online, there are cakes that you can make sous vide, you can make, you know, vegetables, for sure you can do sous vide. Whatever it is. Now, what are the essential features? So sealing the food in sturdy plastic bags retains the juices and aroma that otherwise would be lost in the process. Placing the food in a water bath with the temperature set at the desired final cooking temperature of the food prevents overcooking because the food cannot get hotter than the bath it is in. As a result of precise temperature control of the bath and the fact that the bath temperature is the same as the target cooking temperature, very precise control of cooking can be achieved. The use of temperatures much lower than for conventional cooking is an equally essential feature of sous vide, resulting in much higher succulence at these lower temperatures as cell walls in the food do not burst. Now, what temperature do you cook it at? So, the Wikipedia gives you a few examples. The degree of accuracy and constancy of cooking temperature required varies with the food cooked. In some cases, it is not critical. A 15 millimeter thick piece of fish will cook in 17 to 18 minutes at any temperature from 44 degrees Celsius to 61 degrees Celsius. Such food can be cooked in a switched-off slow cooker filled with hot water and a thermometer. But for some foods, as it goes on to explain, it has to be very, very precise. But anyways, this is sous vide. Okay, so there are a lot of shaila you have to ask about sous vide. One, and what that's what we'll be focusing on, is all related Shabbos questions to it. Now, there's a lot of them, right? There's a lot of variations of what the Shabbos question could be. One question would be, is it forbidden and why to actually cook something in a sous vide, using sous vide on Shabbos itself? Now, you would think the answer to that is yes. The answer to that is probably Yes, but not definitely. But not definitely, yes. That's one. Question two is going to be, well, what happened if you did cook it in sous vide before Shabbos, and now you want to warm it up for a few minutes? Can you do that? And we'll see why that's an issue. Can you, because sous vide can cook over, let's say, something which is 48 hours, you could leave it on, you know, Thursday afternoon, and it will be fresh and finally cooked only in time for lunch on Shabbos. Is that a problem? Can you do that? Why, and why would it be permitted? Why would it be prohibited? And there we're going to get into the Dirabbanans of Shabbos, Shehiyah and Hatmana. There are also Kasher Shailas, which we will not get a chance to deal with. Can you use the same sous vide machine for milk and meat? Right, simultaneously, probably not. What about consecutively? So you'd say, oh, it's in a plastic bag, right? It's always in a plastic bag. But both for Shlomo Miller and the OU, quoting Rebelsky as of what I saw this morning, think it is forbidden to use the same sous vide machine for milk and meat. We're not going to get into the kashrus questions, which is a shear for another time. I think I did give you the reference, though. Yeah, I did. If you want the From Toronto discussion of it, it's number 1166. And if you want the OU's daily halacha on it from Rebelsky, as I said, I did not have it when I wrote the makaras because it was this morning. So I resent out the makaras yesterday, so I missed it. But if you check online, you should be able to find it. Okay. So the first halachic shaila. Okay, is it prohibited to cook something on Shabbos lechatchila in a sous vide, right? Using sous vide on Shabbos, is that an isser d'oraisa? Now you would say, well, obviously it is an isser d'oraisa. What's the shaila? Why would cooking not be asr on Shabbos? It's cooking, and usually you'd be right. But here's the problem. The Gemara tells us in number two as follows: Ein noshen beitza b'tzad ha-mecham b'shvil shetiskalgel v'lo yafkia b'sudarin v'Rabbi Yosi makir. So you can't put an egg next to a heater so that it'll cook, and you can't sort of take it in these heated cloths, and Rabbi Yossi permits it. Well, it can't be sudara. And the Gemara says, "Vaditnan nosin tavshel oto chabor b'shvil sheyeh shamur." But aren't you allowed to put food into a pit to guard the heat? And ma'am yahayafim biram b'shvil yitzaninu, or put water to other water to cool it down. And tzonim mecham b'shvil sheyachamu, or cold water to hot water to warm it up. Lame Rabbi Yossi v'lo Rabbanan, is that only Rabbi Yossi and not the Rabbanan? So Amar Rav Nachman bechama d'chulei alma lo pligi d'sharei. So Gemara tells you, without getting into every last detail, that the Gemara says, listen, there are different levels. Classic cooking is with what's called or, and classic cooking requires fire. If there's no fire, so then it's not biblically prohibited. What if it's what's called toldot ha'or, meaning things that were heated up by a fire? So the Gemara says as follows. If you cook something in the sun, so everyone agrees it's permitted. But toldot ha'or, kulei amalo pligi de'asur. Everyone agrees that not only is fire prohibited, but derivatives of fire are prohibited. Ki pligi betoldot ha'chama. What they're arguing about is, can you cook something in something which was heated by the sun? What's the problem? Mar savar gazrina and toldot ha'chama atu toldot ha'or. Mar savar lo gazrina. Right? Meaning we said you're allowed to cook something in the sun itself. So shouldn't you be able to cook something in the derivatives of the sun? Right? You heat up, I don't know, a piece of metal, right, in the sunlight, and then you use it to fry an egg. Right? If you can fry the egg in the sun, right, you're in, I don't know, the Sahara Desert, and just having the egg out will cook in the sun, that's permitted. Why shouldn't you be able to heat up metal and then fry it on the piece of metal? So the Gemara says, the reason you would say you can't do that is because if you cook something in the Sahara Desert in the sun, everyone knows that it's not fire. Everyone knows it's from the sun. But once it's from the piece of metal that was heated up by the sun, no one knows that it was heated up by the sun and not by a fire. And therefore, it's going to be hard to distinguish. And therefore, there is a machlokes whether, on a rabbinic level, we forbid you from cooking something with derivatives of the sun because it could be confused with, let's say, a piece of metal or whatever that was cooked up. Metal might not be a good example because of something we'll see later, so leave that aside. But something heated up by fire. Okay. The question that the poskim then dealt with is, why is it that bishul, why is it that in order to cook you need fire? There's two reasons why you might think that's true. One is because it's gzeiras hakasuv, that cooking in halacha, at least for Shabbos, requires the presence of fire. The other possibility is that the reason you need to cook with fire on Shabbos is not because you need fire, it's because you need a normal type of cooking. And since the normal way of cooking is with fire, you usually need fire. What's the difference? The difference would be, what happens if you reach an era in history where the normal way of cooking is not with fire? Right? If you think you need fire by definition, then it doesn't matter. Even if the normal way of cooking becomes without fire, you would still not be liable, at least biblically, until you cooked with fire. If you think that it's just a question of what's normal and what's not, as soon as you get to a point where you're not cooking with fire, that you're cooking... If you think just about what's normal, if you get to a point where it's normal to cook not with fire, it would be not biblically prohibited, which again would still meet Asher Midrabanan, but this would be a big difference because, you know, for, let's say, a purpose of a chole, right, someone who's sick on Shabbos, we always prefer Derabanan over Doraisa. So this was a machlokas between Ramosha Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Ramosha Feinstein, in number 4, says that bishul doesn't need fire. It just needs that something should be cooked in the normal way that it's cooked. And therefore, he said, he felt, what about a microwave? Right? So, imkain, bimicrowave oven. Okay? If you can make that out there. Okay? Microwave oven. Right? Tanur mikrogil. Shetov levashel bo kmo be'esh mamash. Moshe said, look.
Gal is a wave.
Yeah, exactly. That's why microgal is a microwave. Exactly. He said, making something in a microwave, it's as good as a fire. Ve'elu she'esh lam tanur kazeh mishtam shimbo yoter mi bishul de be'esh. And people who have microwaves use microwaves more than they use their stove and their oven. U'mashalon nitpashtu tanurim elu adayin u'mishum de lo matzui adayin harbei tanurim. And the reason most people don't use it in his time is because not everyone has a microwave. But when everybody will have a microwave, everyone will use microwaves because they're better than stoves and ovens. Okay, we'll just finish the sentence, then we'll get it. And therefore, it is just like cooking with a fire, and it is forbidden biblically. Now, there's two reasons to disagree with Moshe. One is just the practical point, which I didn't put here, but this is something, I don't think I put it here. No, I didn't put it here. Moshe Sternbach says, which is, Moshe was just wrong. Like, people don't think that things made in a microwave taste as good as things made in an oven.
But he was right that it's ubiquitous.
It is ubiquitous, but there is a difference, right? So, Moshe Sternberg just said, look, meaning maybe Moshe thought it would be. It is ubiquitous, but people don't use it as primary. I mean, they do, but a lot of that stuff is like frozen, which was pre-cooked, and now you're just, you know, defrosting it or whatever, right? But, you know, and like all those like microwave burgers, right? It'll be like, microwave... whatever, but suggested method is skillet, is oven, right? It's still, so that's just one point. But the more fundamental point of Shlomo Zalman Orbach was, if you look at, go back to 3. The Gemara has the following case. The Gemara discusses cooking in the hot springs of Tiberia. So just look at the end here. Like the end of the second line, the Gemara says, "Va'kamri le'rabbanan le'rbiosia ma'is anshi tiver detolut chamahu va'asru le'rabbanan." They didn't allow people to cook in the hot springs Tiberia, even though they're heated up by the sun. So he said, "Amar lehu." He said, "No." Ahu told it orhu. The springs of Tiberia are fire. Why? De'chalfi apitcha de'begehenam. They're heated up by the fires of hell. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But Rosh Hashanah Zalman's point, what?
It's the leftover from the model.
Or who knows, or it means the geothermic, you know, whatever. I don't know what it means, but something like that. Shlomo Zalman says, without getting too far into the sugya, what's clear is that it was normal for people who lived in Tveria to cook in the hot springs of Tveria. But the Gemara says, even though it was normal, you were only liable if there was actual fire. Right? It's not about normal, it's about fire. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman argues in 5, and he says, "Nireh shegam ba'ofen shekein regilim levashel b'chama kamo dud shemesh v'chadoma gam gein patur." I think that even if it's normal to cook with a microwave or with the solar paneled heater, it's still not biblically usher. Because achazina mechamei tveria, like we see with chamei tveria again, as I just said, because the Gemara says what's important there is not whether it's normal or not, but whether there is fire. Now. There are many different types of ways of using sous vide, right? Sometimes you can just attach it to a pre-existing pot. They'll just regulate temperature, right? There are standalone machines. Now, if there is a fire that's heating the water and you're just regulating temperatures, then obviously putting something in a sous vide machine on Shabbos is usher midaraisa. But what happens, and I don't know if they actually have these, but what would happen if you had a sous vide machine where it was heating the water without any heating element, but simply with electricity, right?
An electrical heating element.
Well, no, see, not necessarily. An electric heating element might be ash, because there's a halacha called gachel shamatecha, that once metal reaches a red hot, it's called ash. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman had a case in 6 where people were cooking by creating electric circuit, it's in the water where there wasn't a heating element. They were just right.
Induction. You're not talking about induction.
That's not what he's talking about, right? He's talking. He says it's a mazleg chashmali shishnei ktsavotav miruchakin, right? Two sides of the electric circuit, and the water itself create. I don't know if people do this or if it's safe. I can't imagine this is the greatest idea. But he apparently people did this. I mean, I guess you could do it.
You have in Israel these things that you can heat up your coffee, right? When you put in these two prongs into the...
Right, so that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about.
I think the coil basically is the element. It's just covered by something.
Okay, so this one apparently wasn't. But he said, is that Bishul on Shabbos? So he got he had a machlokas with the Chazon Ish in 6. And he said that no, it is only Asur Midirabanan. And the Chazon Ish said, no, it's d'oraisa, it's biblical. And he goes on about how he doesn't understand it. But he says it is a mitzvah to publicize this halacha. Why? Because if you need a cook for someone on Shabbos, he thinks it's only d'rabbanan, l'shitaso. And therefore, if you need a cook, so find your sous vide machine that uses this open circuit method, and then it'll only be d'rabbanan. Now, that's very interesting sort of intellectually, but this is not the shaila that anybody asks. I've never heard anybody ask this shaila, okay? It would be a nafka mina of it, but most people don't care about this shaila because that's not what they are doing on Shabbos. But what is important is the following. Is many of the kulot that we have in cooking on Shabbos are predicated on the halacha of ein bishul achar bishul. Right, that once something is cooked, you're allowed to reheat it. Right, we know this, right? You aren't allowed to cook something, freshly on Shabbos. You're allowed, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to recook. What does it mean to be cooked on Shabbos? Right, what does it take for something to be cooked such that you can reheat it on Shabbos? Yeah. Right. So, normally. So it's a machlokas rishonim, right? Some rishonim say it needs to be reached machal ben drusai, about a third or half cooked. Other rishonim say it needs to be mushal kol tzarko. What it almost always means is it needs to have reached yatzal ledet. Right? It needs to have been cooked in yatzal ledet. What's the problem with sous vide? And I haven't seen anyone mention this particular aspect. The problem with sous vide is that how hot is yatzal ledet? So yatzal ledet ranges. The lowest sheet does 104 degrees, about 40 degrees Celsius. That's the position of Rabbi Binyamin and Zilber and the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe Feinstein puts it at 43 degrees Lechumra, 43 degrees Celsius. Rav Aaron Kotler puts it at 45. But they also say l'chomra that they won't consider something vadai until it's as high as 71 or 79.4. So what's the problem? Something which is cooked by sous vide could be cooked as low as 44 degrees Celsius. It's cooked at 44 degrees Celsius. It's not Yad Zol Edit Bo according to Moshe Feinstein. It's not Yad Zol Edit Bo according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. And it's not Yad Zol Edit Bo according to anybody who says that L'chumra, you have to wait till it's 70 or 70, you know, 71 or 79 degrees Celsius, which means that... So it wouldn't be a problem on to cook it on Shabbos. It'd be a problem to reheat it on Shabbos because then it hasn't been cooked. Right? And there's a big shaila, and this is what I gave you in the Shevet Alevi. If something is finished cooking, but it never went through a halachic process of cooking, are you allowed to reheat it on Shabbos? Meaning, what allows you to invoke Ein Bishel, right? Ein Bishel Achar Bishel? Is it that it is finished cooking practically, or that it went through the halachic process of cooking? Right? And here we come back to the microwave shaila. That's his safek by microwave. Is if something was microwaved, so according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it might come out of Chumra, that if something was microwaved before Shabbos,
Cooked through microwave
before Shabbos, you couldn't reheat it on Shabbos, because Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, but this wasn't Mavushal. And therefore, we have to ask the question, if something was completed, it's fully edible through sous vide, but it never reached Yad Zol Edit Bo, or it was cooked in this magic sous vide with, you know, electric, I don't know, with a leg, right, electrically cooked, and according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, isn't Mavushal, would you be allowed to reheat it on Shabbos? The answer might be no. So that's the first shaila, but I haven't seen anyone raise this aspect of it. I'm not totally sure why. I don't know why. I tried to get an answer on this one, but I don't know. I don't know why nobody quite asked this this question. I don't know.
Is that similar to a warmer at a hotel?
I mean, with all the warmers, right? The thing with warmers is it has to be cooked before. We want it to be cooked before. But if this was halachically never cooked...
Because you never know if things are cooked before. You could go to a...
No, but that's the whole point. You obviously... They have to be cooked before.
They have warmers, and the caterer, like PR, brings the food in.
Right. But they...
You think it's cooked. You never know.
No, well, yeah, but that, anything which is under hashgacha, you know, that's what they're going to make sure of, that it was cooked sufficiently before Shabbos, such that we can then invoke all the heterum to reheat. So I haven't seen anyone raise this, but this is, to me, the first question you have to ask. I wrote this to Shlomo Miller, you know, through from Toronto. I've not got an answer yet.
That's one away from what they consider the Yatsunas book. So it's really the lowest temperature. Most meats aren't cooked, mostly cooked in the
Because Ramosha says L'chomra, we have to wait till something hits 71, 79.
The lowest temperature, so most meats are probably not cooking at that temperature.
No, because meats, they are cooking at that. Not the lowest, maybe not 111, but they're not necessarily at 79, right? That's the whole point, is you cook them at low temperatures. So I don't know. Another thing to think about, and I'm just going to throw this out there because I really haven't seen anyone raise this in this context, is the Rambam in Perek Chav Beis, Halacha Yud, says that cooking something via kavush, or not cooking, right, pickling something, right, on your chayav, it's usher because it's kimivashel. It is machlokas rishonim, whether that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, what he means, kimivashel.
You can't do that on Shabbos, though. Because it takes 24 hours. You'd have to put it in...
Well, no, because some of it takes 1 to 6, right? Depends which type
kavush?
Of...
Kavush? Yeah?
No, but I'm saying, he says... Well, no, because it depends what things. Some things so can become edible more quickly. So the Rambam says, right, this isn't the same standard necessarily of kashrus, right?
No,
he's just saying...
Kavush adami means 24 hours.
No, but if something becomes... Right, he means by kavush simply something that becomes edible through soaking.
Oh.
Right, so he says it's asur because it's kimav ashel, and it's a machlok zacharim that's daraisa darabanan. Now sous vide is definitely worse than that, right? Because it's soaking in hot water, right? So presumably, according to the Rambam, it would be whatever you think kavush is. It would be worse than that. Okay, but halacha lemaisa, these are not the shailas people are asking. What are people asking? They're asking of whether they can. Oh, okay, no. So just quickly, what I put in the next few sources is that even if it's not bishul, I think it's clearly going to be usher to cook something with sous vide on Shabbos, because this is something we discussed last week. There is a category, right? The Gemara had discussed kulyos ha'aspanin, right? The fish that merely pouring hot water on, it cooks it like that, and it's usher. We saw there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Is it usher because of makav patish, or is it usher because of bishul? But either way, we paskin it's usher. So another possibility is that it's like kulyos ha'aspanin, right? That if you cook something and it vada becomes finished, it should be usher. For whatever reason kulyos ha'aspanin is usher, it should be usher as well. That's what I gave you in the next few sources here. But as I said, the big question you're going to have to ask is, can you invoke the heterim that we have of cooking if something was cooked, right, to reheat something which was cooked with sous vide because of ein bishul achar bishul? Again, I don't know what poskim say. I gave you I don't know how these numbers happened. I don't know, 7, 8, 7, 9. I have no idea how it does this. It's very, very odd. But part of that discussion is going to be, what does it mean something to be cooked? Do you have to wait till Michael ben Drusai? Do you have to wait till it's fully cooked? Mitzdamek viralo, mitzdamek viafilo. I'm going to skip that to get to the two main shailas that people actually ask. Can you leave something cooking Erev Shabbos to be ready for lunch? Right. That's really, when people are talking about cooking sous vide on Shabbos, that's really what they want to know. Is can you leave it so that it's perfectly ready for lunch? So what shailas would be involved? So there's two halachic shailas that would be involved. One is shehiya, and the second is hatmana. What are shehiya and hatmana? So there are two, right? These are two rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos. Shehiya is as follows. Gemara tells you in number 9. Man tanelu dan rabbanon lo temale isha kdeira asasiv v'turmitz v'taniach l'toch hatanur erev Shabbat imcha sheicha. Nozom lo Shabbos is asurin b'chdei triyasa. You can't. A woman can't fill up a pot and put it into the oven on erev Shabbos right before nightfall. And if you do, it's asur motzei Shabbos chayotzei bo lo yamali nachtom chavish shal mayim v'aniach l'toch hatanur erev Shabbos imcha sheicha v'im asakin lo Shabbos is asur b'chdei sheyasu. A baker can't fill up a kettle of water and put it into the oven on erev Shabbos to cook. So leime beishamai hi velo beis hillel. So the Gemara is in the middle of a discussion of what's called Shvisas Kelim. Are we required not only to not do malacha, but to not have malacha done on our behalf, or start malacha Erev Shabbos that would continue into Shabbos? So the Gemara says, when we say you aren't allowed to have something cooking on Shabbos, is that only Beis Shammai who says that you aren't allowed to have malacha happening, Shvisas Kelim, or is even Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, Afilu Teimim Beis Hillel, Gzeira Shemayechta Begechalim. There's a halacha called Shehiya. Even though midaraisa, it's only usher to cook something on Shabbos, but you're allowed to leave something Erev Shabbos on the fire, as long as you put it on 5 minutes before Shabbos. The fact that it's going to cook through Shabbos is irrelevant. Midarabanan, there's an isra called shehiya, because we're worried that what's going to happen, you're going to put the food on the pot, on the stove 5 minutes before Shabbos, and then what are you going to do? You're going to stoke the flames. Right, you're going to adjust the knob, right? Because if it's already cooked and you're just reheating it, you're keeping it warm, so we're not worried. But if it's cooked, right? If it isn't cooked, it's raw going into Shabbos. So yes, you're not violating Bishul D'Oraisa, but we're worried that you will, because you'll start playing with the flame. You'll start, right? That's called shehiya. Wait, one second. Give me a minute. Now this is, right, clearly, right, this is the shaila you have to ask by sous vide. But what are the parameters of shehiya? When is it usher? When is it mutter? So, there's a fundamental machlokas in number 10 between Chananya and the Chachamim, 10, number 3, whatever. The Mishnah says, Kira shesikua bekash ubigvava. No shinolea tafshil. If you have a stove, these like stove oven things, that you covered the heat source with straw, you're allowed to put a cooked food on it. Begefit of eitzim, if you put wood or cotton, you can't. Lo yitin achi yigrov. You have to sort of put out the fire, achi yitin efer, or cover it with dirt. Beishamay omrim, chamen avalo tafshil. Uvezel omrim chamen v'tavshil. B'shamay says only hot water, but not a cooked food. B'shil says even a cooked food. B'shamarim notlin avalo machzirin. B'shamay says you can take it off, but you can't put it back on. Uvezel omrim machzirin. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara says ibayi lehu. Hai lo yitain lo yachzer hu. Avalishos mashen afal pisha eno garuf v'eno katum. Umani chananyahi. And this is really what you need, is the brisa. Detanya Chananya Omer. Koshu kemacho ben Jusai muter lashahoso algabe kira. Afal pish eno garuf veino katum. Odilma lishos nan vigaruf vikatum in olo vilo lo vikol shaken lahakshir. So the Gemara says there's a machlokes. Chananya says that when is there an Isser Shehiya? Only until food is cooked, machal ben Jusai. But once food has been cooked, machal ben drusai, which is either one third or one half cooked, meaning it's basically edible, right? Ben drusai was a thief, and therefore whatever he was, and therefore the assumption of the Gemara is that thieves on the run will cook their food only to minimum amount because they can't stick around for it to be fully cooked. So Chananya says that shehiyah becomes mutter as soon as something is edible, as a third cooked or a half cooked before Shabbos, even if the heat source is not what's called garuf v'katum, even if the heat source is not covered, right, is not inaccessible. The Chachamim say that's not true, that in order to be matir shehiyah, in order to permit shehiyah, it doesn't matter how cooked it is, the heat source needs to be... if it's cooked machal ben drusai, the heat source needs to be covered. Now, how do we paskin? So the Beis Yosef notes in 11 that is a machlokes rishonim. The rif paskin, because of a rif, mistavar de maskana de bayan de lo yitin lo yishu afil lishos igar v'katum in ilo. Lo, the rif paskins that shehiyah is only mutter if you have two things. It always needs to be that the heat source is covered, and it needs to be machal ben drusai, and then it would be mutter. Hilkach after the ellipsis, asher lahashos al gabei kira she'ena grufa uktuma tavshil shel nisbashel kol tzarko, and therefore he says, if something isn't fully cooked. Or even she's bashel kol tzarko shel el shehu mitstamek v'yafelo, or it is fully cooked but it gets better with time. Then it's always going to be aser. Meaning any time, either it's not fully cooked, or even if it is fully cooked but it gets better with time. Meaning any time there's any benefit to allowing this to continue cooking, it's aser to cook unless it's garuf v'katum. V'imi grufa oktuma, mashin aleh kol davar ben shabishal kol tzarko ben shal lo bishal v'kol shakem mitzamek v'yafalo. But if it is garuf v'katum, if the heat source is covered, so then it'll be permitted to do it. After the next ellipsis, of a Rashi, some echad Rav Sheshes, but Rashi relies on Rav Sheshes and paskins like Chananya. And after the next ellipsis, v'chazav Rashi b'shvil sherabu hadeos b'hai piska, since there's a machlokes about this, v'yisrael adukim mitzvahs oneg Shabbos, and Jews care about oneg Shabbos, lo yishmu l'achmir, they won't listen to us, we want to be machmir, hanach lehem b'minag shenagu al piaposkim kechananya. So let them paskin like Chananya. So we have a fundamental machlokes between Chananya and the Chachamim, and between Rashi on one side, Rashi and the Rif on the other side, the Rambam on the other side, which is, when is shehiyah mutter? According to Chananya, as soon as something is mesamek is machal ben drusai, it's edible, you're allowed to leave it cooking on Shabbos, even over an open heat source. According to the Rif and the Rambam, it's not true, right? Until something is fully cooked and doesn't get better with time, until that point, it will always be aser to cook something, to leave something cooking before Shabbos, unless you cover the heat source. Now, how do we paskin? So, this is a bit complicated, because if you skip to 13, Shulchan Aruch, okay, this is going to be really complicated here, but, okay. See, this is just Shulchan Aruch, but let's put it this way. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch tells you. Sorry, the Ramah tells you. Look at the two lines from the bottom. Okay, I don't want to torture you. Look at two lines from the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Nagu lahakel kisvar achron or the kisvara haachrona. The minhag is to be makel like Hananya. Okay, the minhag is to be makel like Hananya.
Before 14.
Right, before 14. 13. Right, the last two lines of the Ramah. The minhag is to paskin like Hananya. 14 is the Ber Halacha, who tells you that, remember that Rush we saw before, who says that the reason Jews are makil is because they really care about Onag Shabbos? So what does that mean? Does that mean that really we should be machmir, but because Jews love eating, we're going to be makil, they won't listen to us? Or does it mean that it really is mutter, and because Onik Shabbos is a good thing, we don't want to prevent people from having good food on Shabbos? The Ber Halacha paskins the first way, L'chumra. Meaning that even though the Ramah says we paskin like Hananya, that once something is machal ben Yerushai, is a third or a half cooked, it is permitted to leave it on, even on an uncovered heat source. We don't paskin that way, and we require it to be fully cooked and not getting better. The Chazon Ish, in number 15, argues the other way, and says, no, when the Rosh says that the minhag is to be mekel, that's because it's really mutter, and we don't want to impose extra chumras, because if we impose extra chumras, we'll prevent people from enjoying their food on Shabbos. So how does that play out for Suvi, right? So, according to Rashi...
Well, you use crock pots, right?
Hold that thought for a minute. Hold it for a minute. So, according to Rashi, once it hits, right, and Hananya, once it is edible, so if you put the Suvi on for 48 hours, so let's say a third in is the logical time. So you put it in Thursday afternoon for Shabbos lunch. Matov manayim. It's half cooked, right? Let's go with the more mach. Really, we usually bathe in a third cook. But let's say it's edible. By the time you get to Shabbos, it's mutter. Therefore, you don't have to start worrying about what would it mean to cover the heat source on the sous vide. But according to the Rif, according to the Rambam, according to the Chamim, according to the Mishnah Brura, what's the whole point of leaving the sous vide on for 48 hours? Because A, it's not mevushel kol tzarko, and even if it is mevushel kol tzarko, it's mitzamek v'yavalo, it gets better. And therefore, it's going to be usher unless you do what's called grief, great grief, you make it garofakatum. You cover the heat source. But how are you going to cover the heat source? By a crock pot, right? It's a bit easier, right?
We cover the knob, really.
Ah. So the fundamental question the modern post can know is, what does Grufa Ketuma mean? In the time of the Gemara, it meant cover the heat source, which was also the modern knob. Right? They were the one and the same. Right? Right? Meaning the coals were both the heat source, and if you wanted to raise the flame, you had to stoke the coals. But nowadays, there's a separation, right? The heat source is the fire, but the controls are the knobs. Now, the generally accepted psak is to try to be machmir for both and to cover the heat source, right? Think about it, right? You have if you're using a blech, right? If you think it's only about the heat source, sorry, if it's only about the controls, so you would say cover the knobs and you could put the food straight on the fire, right? Without a blech. But we don't do that. We put it on a blech and we cover the knobs because Rav Moshe Feinstein says the minhag is to be machmir l'shtei hadeos, right? To paskin that it's the heat source and it's the controls. Now, what would that mean for a sous vide? So many sous vide, right? Where are the controls? On the app on your phone, right? Right? Many sous vides are just controlled from your phone, right? Because, right? What? Yeah, so you turn off the phone on Shabbos. That's exactly what it is, right? From the control perspective, it's actually really easy. Right now, not all of them are like this, but many of them are. Why?
Cool.
Right? Why are many of them controlled like this? It makes sense. Because let's say you're going to cook something for 6 hours. So what's the best way to cook it? You know, at noon, you set yourself a timer, right? And you turn it on so it'll be ready for dinner, right? You just put it, you leave it sitting in the water, right? But it may be a bit hard if you think you also need to not just cover the control, but cover the heat source. This gets a bit...
It
gets tricky, because what exactly is the heat source? So what are you going to do, right? So here, you'd say, well, you might need to paskin like Chananya, right? Like Rashi, like the Chazon Ish, right? Because it's very... Or say that you need to cover the knobs, which is whatever, your cell phone or whatever it's going to be. But that's really the first question. But there is a way out. Even if you paskin like the Chachamim, there's a way out, because there's a magic halacha. A magic halacha. The magic halacha is, if you turn back for a second to 12, it's what's called Kedera Chaisa. What's Kedera Chaisa? So I'll tell you outside first. The Gemara says like this. Since there's a problem, since the reason we don't allow you to put food on a fire before Shabbos to cook into Shabbos is because we're worried you're going to stoke the flames.
Because you're in a rush.
What? Because you're in a rush. What if you put food that's mimela not going to be ready for 12 hours? How would you do that? Take a raw piece of meat and throw it on the stove, on the blech, right before Shabbos. The Gemara says that's mutar l'chatchila, because that's called kedera chaisa. It's totally raw, and therefore stoking the flame ain't going to help you. You know it's for lunch, right? You know it's not for dinner, so it doesn't matter. Then it's mutar. So that's what the Gemara says in 12. V'hash damar mar gzera shemayechta v'gecholim hay kedera chaisa shor lanuch erev Shabbos imchashecha b'tanura. Once you say that the problem is we're worried you're going to stoke the flames, a raw piece of meat is mutter. My time. You're not going to come to stoke the flames, you're just going to leave it. And therefore it's permitted. Now, many poskim didn't like Kedera Chaisa. Why didn't they like Kedera Chaisa? It's Nifsek and Shulchan Aruch.
You might take a look.
Right, so some people say you might know, but practically they said, because we don't know. Kedera Chaisa said, you're not going to look, you're not going to stoke, right? But it's very hard to figure out how raw, right? At what point do you put a food such that you know for sure the guy's not going to come and play with it on Shabbos? So look, for example, at 16. This is from Chuvas Ivra, Rav Henkin. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. He said, "Lefiani is daiti b'tanurim shalanu shemivashlim al gabei tanur mechasim ze'esh b'pach," meaning with a blech. "Kedei shalav avalag le'esh," right? Our minhag to use our stoves with a blech. "Ein lahatman kedei al gabei apach b'rav Shabbos amal chashecha elam kenatav shel kram avushal kedei sheroy lachila." Okay, I don't want you to put it on unless it's ready to eat. Now he says, "You do a halacha shebigmaru v'poskim shekedera chaisa." Right, that we know the Gemara Shulchan Aruch Paskin said if something is totally raw, mutar lahatmina me'erev Shabbos samuch lachashecha. So you're allowed to put it on the flame, all right, on the blech, right before Shabbos. V'lav dafka kol hakedera. And the halacha isn't that the whole thing has to be raw. El afilu imiktas hakedera shel basar eina mevusheles. Even if a little bit of it isn't cooked, it's fine. Afilu yesh b'chatira acha shel basar chayor as a single piece of raw meat. Mutter lahatmina samoch lechashecha v'ein choshen shemitaken as a eish v'yamo lidei isra bishol b'shabbos. It's permitted and we're not worried you're going to cook on Shabbos. V'atamu shemecheven shatav shel chay yifshar sheyizbash shel ara erev el anishar ad lamachar. Because if it's raw, we know you're not going to touch it till tomorrow. Ulamachar vadei yizbashol batam v'lishom tikum na'esh. And by tomorrow it'll cook with or without your help. But nowadays, I don't want you to use kedera chaisa for many reasons. Reishis din shel kedera chaisa noged davka l'samach l'chashecha. First of all, the halacha is it needs to be put on right before dark. Zman samach l'chashecha in a bar lanu. I don't know how close to Shabbos it needs to be close enough that it's still considered raw. Because I don't know when Shkia is, right? It could be Right? L'chumra, obviously, we treat it as sunset. But l'chumra, in the other direction, would put it at seis. Shalfi shita achas, he takeh k'shemesh miskasa ma'ayin. Right, according to one sheet, it's when right the sun sets. Lufishi dacher is ibishar b'kirov acher again. Others say it's much later. Umadin sheikh manu lahachim rabinian zeh. Vishenis, second reason. Bishul b'tanurim shalanu algavay apach shonar beim bishul shalem. Our fires are much better. She b'tanurim shalem aysak der mechusa legamri. Their flames, how effective were they? Hein b'kira, hein b'tanurim mekupach. When they seek in b'kashu b'gvavo b'etzim unachem leizbarer. V'abishul shalem u'shoa kamashos b'chol ofen. It took a long time to cook, no matter what. V'lachin lo yachshah, shem yat min akadera samach hashechel yavol lidei tikkun. And therefore, no one was worried that if you put it right before Shabbos, that it would be cooked well. It would take a long time anyways. But nowadays, it takes only a few minutes. And he says, furthermore, that's only by meat. But there's another reason. By other foods, it needs to be machal ben drusai. We don't know how much that is, right? Which is a third or half of bishul. And he says, besides, sometimes what will happen, you think it's a third cook, but it's not. It's cooked on the outside and raw on the inside. And therefore, for all these reasons, Rav Henkin and Rav Soloveitchik said, we aren't allowed to rely on Kedera Chaisa. What's the problem? Not the problem. What's the benefit of sous vide over all of this?
You're not going to touch it.
You're not going to touch it because all the svarot don't apply. It's mamish Kedera Chaisa, meaning mamarav shach. Either it's cooked, meaning what's the svarot Kedera Chaisa? Something which is still raw, which it is. Remember, it might not reach out to ledet, right? You put it on, let's say you put something on right before Shabbos for 12-hour cooking, right? It's raw, it's in cold water, or warm water. And all of Repenkin's concerns, you don't know, maybe it cooked on the inside, and it didn't cook on the outside. No, it didn't. It's equally cooked. It's scientific. We know exactly how hot it is, exactly how long it's going to take, right? Everything to the T, right? We know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be that it's going to cook in 36 hours, and you're going to eat it 12 hours later.
No, because you time it, right? That's the whole. But the point is, you're not going to touch it. The point is, the whole svar of Kedera Chaisa that you put something in that's at the moment raw enough that you know nobody's touching it until when you're supposed to eat it. That's exactly what sous vide is, even if you want to not generally hold of Kedera Chaisa, sous vide would be the exception to the exception, where I think, right, even Rav Henkin would tell you that you would have a het there. So, first problem, right, the first major problem, Shehiyah.
Are you saying you don't need it to be raw, or are you saying that by definition?
It is raw, that's the point.
You put it in 24 hours before you
So Mamanav Shach. No, because here, what do you have? Mamanav Shach. If you put it in 24 hours before, now it's half cooked,
yeah.
So now you have Rashi. And if it's still raw, you have Kedera Chaisa, right? So,
yeah.
Or you put it right before Shabbos, right? It's Kedera Chaisa, which is good, even according to Chachamim.
Well, assuming that the cook can do that. I mean, you don't know that.
Well, it depends. If it's 12-hour cooking, could do it, right? Obviously, you'd have to figure it out. If it's 36-hour cooking, it won't help you. Or, right, sometimes people ask not for Shabbos. What if you have Shabbos and Yom Tov afterwards?
Mm.
So you mamish are not going to touch it on Shabbos. You put it in right before Shabbos to be cooked for Yom Tov night, for 24 hours from now. B'chol, you're not going to touch it on Shabbos. That's mamish Kedera Chaisa, right? You know, you're not touching it. It's meant for tomorrow. It's meant for Sunday. That, presumably, would be legamrei mutar midin shehiyah, right? So, from shehiyah, the possibilities to be mekil are A, Kedera Chaisa, right? And B, it depends. According to Chananya, and according to Rashi, and according to Chazon Ish, once it's Michael ben Drusai, so then it's mutar. And even if you pause like Chachamim, right, you have to figure out, if you think Garuf Vekatum is primarily about the controls, right, which you can be mitzdarif as a sniff, right, just turn off your phone or whatever it is, cover the knob, and that's what we do in crockpots anyways, right, and it depends which sous vide, right, some of them, the heating source may actually be covered, right, it depends, sometimes it's cooked from within, right, sometimes it's not, it depends what type you have, so there are several tzadim lahakel on shehiyah, yeah.
So your premise, what I'm hearing is that it could be Lezer Machaber Dorsai is all raw, and when Gesser Machaber Dorsai, it stops going from raw and becomes partially cooked. But I thought, you know, Kedera Chayza means it's like 1% cooked.
Right,
and
so
anything between 1 and 30, 33, is all...
So that's what you would think.
It's not Kedera Chayza,
right.
It's not Machaber Dorsai.
Correct, so that's usually the way we understand it, but Kedera Chayza seems like...
The
right.
Svara would, I'm saying the Svara would like...
Correct, but the problem is here, it's different because it's cooked basically in warm and not hot water. So it's not like... It doesn't really naturally reach a 33, right, in the same way. So it could be that it's Kedera Chayza much longer. Now again, you might argue with it, but now you have sort of two sniff in Lahakel, which is either a version of Chananya, if it reached Machal Mendozai, or a version of Kedera Chayza, right... Until that point.
And this might be better than Kedera Chayza because the
correct.
Whole cooking system is based on your...
Bidiyuk, right? It might be a sort of super Kedera... Exactly. Okay. The next possibility of a problem is Hatmana. Right? Hatmana is a totally different problem, which is... So Shehiya, the poskim tend to say, you know what, you might actually be able to solve the problem of Shehiya, right?
Hatmana.
The bigger problem is Hatmana. Why Hatmana? So Hatmana is a problem of insulating. So, okay, we have not so much time, so let me summarize it outside, okay? No, it goes like this. You aren't allowed to be tomein bedavar hamosif hevel, right? In something which adds heat on Erev Shabbos. Now, it's very hard to figure out what the Gemara is talking about when it says something that adds heat. But whatever it is that adds heat, a sous vide actually adds heat, right? The food is in a vacuum-sealed bag, totally covered by the water, right? So if there ever was something which is Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel, this is literally it, right? It is actually fully right covered at all sides, right, in water, right, which is cooking it, right, which is adding heat. And Hatmana is more machmir than Shehiya, because if you look at Siv Zayin, Hatman is Asher, Afil B'Gdera Mevushelet called Sarcho. Right? It's even if it's fully cooked, even it's still Asher. Right? It's still Asher. Hatmana is Asher even when it is fully, fully cooked, if it's a Davar Mosif Hevel. Okay. So then you look at it and sort of, okay, so we have a problem, right? Hatmana, you're isn't this exactly the problem, right? You're insulating the food, right, in the hot water, right, in a davar hamosif hevel, and something that adds heat to it. It's hatmana. So what does it hang on? So so it hangs on two problems, right? One is, can you have Hatmana in water, or is it a problem of Bishul, right? And since it's not Bishul, right, then it's not Hatmana either, right? Or, right, meaning it could only be, it's either Bishul or nothing, right? So this is a Machlokes. So this is Machlokes, the Taz and the Chazanish. The Taz says no, you can have Hatmana b'mayim, and that's in, where did I put it? I put it in 21. That in 21, the Mishnah Berurah says that you can have Hatmana in Mayim. Now, how can you have it, right? He says, Kazu Achram Shazel Gachli Vesochel Mashket Sonen Levitcho Vesoch Beshavis Lechli Mayim Lechli Mayim Chamin Shiz Chamin Vesochel Filo Yuchel Lavo Lide Yatzoledes Bo Shazu Derech Hatmana Mamish Kevin Shekulo Tamin Vesochel. The Taz says you can have Hatmana in water. Now, why isn't it Bishul? So the reason it seems to not be Bishul, I mean, it might be Bishul. That was what we discussed before. But it's not Yatzeledet, right? It's not Yatzeledet. If it's not Yatzeledet, then it can't be Bishul. It's not Bishul, it's only Hatmana B'mayim. So, now if it's actually Yatzeledet, so then maybe it is, right, maybe it is Bishul, but it's at least, it seems, Hatmana B'mayim. If you paskin like the Taz. Now, all the poskim say, well, wait. Now, the Chazanesh argues. Chazanesh says there is no Hatmana B'mayim. Now, all the poskim say, okay, well, wait a second. But why is this different than putting, let's say, kugel wrapped in tinfoil in a chulent? Right? Isn't that Hatmana in chulent? Right? So the poskim say, no. Like chulent, if it's you know, to the extent that it's usur, it's like bishul. But once you hit bishul, it's mutter. Why? Because you can't have bishul of food in food. But the water in a sous vide, it's not food. It's being used as a heating element, right? And therefore, it is a problem of hatmana, which is sort of on the continuum of bishul, right? It might be bishul, but probably not. But if it's not yatzaledit, but it might be. But it might be hatmana b'mayim. So now, I gave you in 20, right, that one of the big questions trying to figure out why this would be different from crockpots. Now, there's an old machlokas about crockpots, where Shlomo Zalman forbids two-piece crockpots, and Rav Moshe Feinstein permits two-piece crockpots, but this is actually worse than crockpots, because it's actually insulated entirely in the water, and hangs on the question of hatmana b'mayim. What no one brings up, I don't know why, is that there is a position in the Mordechai, which is quoted in the Ramah, that Kdera Chaisa works for Hatmana. Now, the Minog, the Mishnah Berurah says, is not to be somech on this at all. But there is such a position, it's quoted by the Ramah, that Hatmana is also Mutter, by Kdera Chaisa. So this is the second question that the poskim try to deal with. So what's the halacha? So we only have 3 minutes. So let me just give you two positions. Rav Asher Weiss in 22, and you can read it yourself, paskins that it is hatmana, because he paskins like the Taz that there is hatmana b'mayim, and he says it's fully ensconced in this heating element, and therefore it's mamish hatmana b'davra mosev hevel. And therefore, you can't leave food cooking Erev Shabbos. Forget Shehiyah. Shehiyah we can solve. We talked about it. We can solve it. Maybe it's Kedera Chaisa. Maybe it's Hatamana. Right? Maybe it's we pass on like Chananya. Maybe it is Garofakatum. Right? There's all different ways we can solve Shehiyah. But Hatamana, he doesn't know how to do it. He says we pass on like the Taz. This is different from Kogel in Cholent, because that at least is food in food. This isn't. This is food in a heating element. And therefore he says it's mamish hatmana b'dov mosif hevel, and therefore he thinks it's asur. And he tells you he has a meta-halachic reason as well at the end, which is that his position on Shabbos is that because Shabbos is so complicated, every time a new shaila comes up, he's machmir unless he feels like there's a shas atchak to be mekel, unless he's 100% convinced it's mutter. But since he's noted to be machmir, and he doesn't see why you need sous vide on Shabbos.
Or sushi.
Well, you see, this is actually the pattern, right? But he tells you this is his philosophy. It's the exact same philosophy, is that anytime a new food shaila comes up, which he doesn't see the tzorach in, if he has any suffik, he's machmir. So Rav Asher Weiss is machmir. On the other hand, Shlomo Miller is mekel. If you look at 23, just look at the answer. Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita's opinion is that although unusual cooking, such as cooking by hot smoke or the sun's rays, was not included in the Bishul Akum. Okay, that's Bishul Akum. Here, go 3 lines down. As far as Hatmana is concerned, Chazon Ish maintains there's no Hatmana prohibition when placing food in a utensil inside the food contained in other vegetables, such as plastic bag or aluminum foil containing kugel or kishka, inside the pot of cholent before Shabbos. Right. He paskins the Chazon Ish, and therefore says, no, this is the same as cholent, and there is no Hatmana b'mayim. He adds the two containers are considered as one. Some poskim maintain it is only permitted when the inner container is not completely covered by the food in the pot. I'm not sure why this is not fully covered, but at any rate, Shlomo Miller says that no, this is exactly identical. We paskin the chazon ish. There's no hatmana b'mayim. This is just like the kugel in the cholent, and therefore Shlomo Miller is mekel. So what you end up having, or this is a very complicated shaila, right? Cooking it on Shabbos is probably bishul, but there's tzadim that it might not be, but that's not really the shaila I ended up asking. Can you leave it before Shabbos? So shehiyah is a potential problem, but it might be mutter midin shehiyah because of kedera chaisa, or because of some combination of shittah of chananya, there's already a third cooked, in which case it would be mutter even if the heating element is not covered, or we possibly like the chamim, and maybe the heating element is covered. The bigger problem seems to be hatmana b'davar mosif hevel. Rav Asher Weiss paskins like the Taz and says this is mamish hatmana of in a fully ensconced in water, and therefore it's hatmana b'davar mosif hevel completely. Rav Shlomo Miller says it's not because we paskin like Chazon Ish that ain hatmana b'mayim, and he thinks it's not fully covered. I don't know if this is true. that it's not fully covered. I feel like it is covered.
You could just pop, could keep a little bit above the water.
You could, you're right, you could, but I don't know if it would work. But I don't know if it would work,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, you're 99% covered.
So I don't know. If it would do that, then Lechari could solve the Hatmanah problem. But anyways, as it stands, the only two people I know who have weighed in on the Shabbos one, Rebelsky also, but I can't find it. But Rebelsky apparently did, but he only waited on the Shia problem, didn't talk about the Tamana problem. The only two poskim who have dealt with that Tamana problem I know of are Rav Asher Weiss in a tshuva that he wrote to Ari Zatz. Again, same as the sushi one. There's a pattern emerging here, right? That people like food in Toronto and in Teaneck, and therefore Ari Zatz has sent the Shilas to Rav Asher Weiss. Both times he was Machmir, and people asked Rav Shlomo Miller in Toronto, and both times he was Makil. I don't know if this creates a pattern, but that is what I gathered so far. Okay.